Hello again, this is Thompson Smiley with another clip from my monthly column in the Louisville magazine, Smiley's Picks. Only this month the magazine does not publish my column, and instead we just go live on WUOL. And my guest is Jim Wilhelm, who's making a name for himself as the creator and editor of a perfectly marvellous website or blog or internet service, call it what you like, called Culture Vultures, in which he fulfills the enormously valuable function of keeping us abreast of mainly the HD performances, the high-definition performances of opera and ballet and whatnot at Tinseltown, Baxter and Stony Brook. And I say immensely valuable function because I know many opera and theatre lovers in Louisville who have never even heard of this five-year phenomenon, which for many of us is revolutionising the way we attend and learn about and learn to love the arts. Jim, as a matter of grave urgency, because one of the broadcasts is on June 1, Wednesday, June 1 at 6:30, can we start off right away talking about the Met di Valcura encore performance at Tinseltown, only 6:30 Wednesday, June 1st. Tell us what to expect.
Expect to be blown away. Even if you are afraid of Wagner, this is worth the experience for the visual, the intimacy, the story. It's wonderful. I saw the original live a couple of Saturdays ago, and I'm going back again. Even though I have to admit I'm a novice to Wagner.
But it's such a stunning physical production, I'm told. And this is the second of the operas of Wagner's Ring, which comprises, we all know, four operas. But it was always axiomatic in my youth that Die Walküre is the most approachable of the four. If you've never been to a Wagner opera, start with Die Walküre.
I agree 100%.
And the cast for this is quite simply...
is outstanding. In fact, many will consider them the leading Wagner singers of the world right at the moment.
Yes.
Jonas Kaufmann as the Siegmund is unquestionably, in my mind and the press, the Wagner tenor of the day. And Deborah Voigt is Brunhilde, and the incredible Stephanie Blythe is Fricka.
Yes, and of course Bryn Terfel, the great Welsh bass baritone, does the extraordinary role of Votan, extraordinary in terms of its length and vocal. Of course, everyone knows the Ride of the Valkyries, and yes, many people will know the fire music when Votan sets fire to his daughter, more or less, or puts a ring of fire around her. But there are also wonderful arias in it, Wintersturm,
and
Du bist der
Du bist der Lenz, of course, the famous Ride of the Valkyrie, with the, in this production, the set is very high tech, and the Valkyries are riding the set and reining their horses right in front of you.
To some very, very wonderful music conducted by arguably one of the great Wagner conductors of all time, but James Levine, with what is probably now the world's finest pit orchestra, the Metropolitan Opera. Well, moving on into the month, I was surprised to get a copy of your Culture Vultures with a covering note, which said that in the month of June, when most of the arts, the so-called live performing arts, opera, ballet, orchestra, have given up for the season, there's something like 16 or 18 of these virtual performances from Covent Garden, La Scala. But the most telling statistic, I thought, was the fact that there was like two Shakespeare plays, one concert, one of ballet, and nine operas. What is this ratio telling us?
A good question, and I wish I had a precise answer. To some extent, I think the opera companies have been the first on the block to, if you will, take the risk, investment risk. Indeed, the Met HD performances have been in existence about 4 or 5 years now. The audience has grown here, and I really see now that the orchestras, in fact, there's one this week, and Europe, I just noticed with an email from a friend that there are 11 operas and 11 ballets from Europe going to be transmitted into the United States next season.
And you're not yet sure whether Baxter is going to carry them, but if they do, this is Covent Garden, La Scala, the Bolshoi.
This is Covent Garden, La Scala. In fact, just past Sunday, and again repeating this Sunday, is the Bolshoi new ballet production of Coppelia.
Which I'm told is a rave.
It was. Yeah. In fact, they got New York Times Press this morning.
Yes,
in an incredible review.
Yeah, well, that's rare enough, isn't it, for what is, after all, a media event rather than a theatre.
It is.
A theatre event. But one of the most alarming things I've read in the last week or two, I mean, the New York City Opera, not for the first time, but maybe for the last time, is in a perilous and parlous financial position, and the dreaded words Chapter 11, which most arts lovers had never heard of 10 years ago, which is now part of the arts vocabulary, is facing possibility of Chapter 11. And one critic writing, I think in the New York Times, said that the New York City used to be the people's opera, the popular opera of New York City, but now the Met HD has become the people's opera. Do you agree?
100%. The New York City Opera saddens me because, as you know, I used to be a member of New York City Opera.
Yes.
Years ago, during the day when it was called the People's Opera. A lot of people don't know Placido Domingo and Carreras got their start at City Opera.
And Beverly Sills.
And undeniably Beverly Sills. But it's more than the Met HD. It's more than the Metropolitan Opera, I think, per se. This medium and the style is really doing, I think, what City Opera did originally, making the opera human, personable, theatrical, aggressive.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to go in your tails. And you could sit there and enjoy drama as well as music.
Not that anyone dresses for the Met nowadays except an opening night, but I take your point very, very strongly that, you know, people say, well, it's not the same as going to live performance. There isn't a sense of community. Well, that is simply not true because we bumped into each other a couple of times at Stony Brook or Tinseltown. We've seen people there making an afternoon of it in more ways than one. And there's very much almost a sort of Glyndebourne, you know, bring your friends and bring your, if you like, a bit of refreshment and if you can smuggle it in and make a whole experience. And all the marketers tell us that's what we need. We need the complete experience.
I agree with you 100%. In fact, just quickly, the New York Times today, when it reviewed the Bolshoi Coppelia, said, enjoy the Bolshoi and your popcorn, too.
Yes.
I mean, that captures it. I can't tell you how many people I see eating in the audience with their own sandwiches.
Yes.
I've even smelled the whiff of adult beverages wafting from them.
Which is a doubtful legality, I would think.
That's right. And you can go in your Kmart blue jeans and shirt and sit there and be immersed in an incredible experience.
However, the public relations, the publicity, getting the word out is a disaster. As I said at the start of this clip, and one guaranteed way to find out everything that's happening in Louisville in HD, but also live, but particularly HD, is by getting on your mailing list, which is
jim.culture.vulture@gmail.com.
Is it vulture singular?
Vulture singular.
jim.culture.vulture@gmail.com.
Right. That's now a 100% devoted email address. I now disseminate the arts calendar to over 400 households.
Well, this is an invaluable
service. Email me and get on.
Well, the cinemas do a terrible job of advertising these CV things. The arts, for the Fund for the Arts Calendar, if I'm right, only concentrates on fund-supported events. So a lot of stuff falls between the cracks, and you seem to be performing an extraordinarily valuable function. Thank you very much indeed.